Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, August 21st, 2010. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we are live in Harlem, USA once again. Today's show is titled Make Me Over. However, we're going to do a different twist. This is going to be a two-part show. First, we're going to talk about the Black Barbershop and the historical significance of the Black Barbershop, and then in another show, we're going to come back and we're going to do the makeover of the male, because we have to really understand what the whole dynamic of the barbershop is to be able to really get done to see why it's so important in our society today. We're in the shop, Flawless NYC Salon, located at 405 West 145th Street. And the owner and operator is James Niles, a.k.a. Flawless. He has been doing this particular job since 1989. And he does it all. He is a man of many talents, I must say. His future aspirations is for everybody to have the name Flawless in their minds and come in and use his shop and hear the wisdom that comes out of the mouth of this wonderful man. Okay? Flawless, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, you are more than welcome. Okay, we know that the Black Barbershop is a staple in the African-American experience and culture. It's been said it's a place where people come from local neighborhood, and some people travel miles just to go to a particular barbershop. It's a place for conversation, and it's a place for belonging. Historical records indicate that the Black barbershop was a means of freedom for the black slave. English travelers described barbering as the birthright of the free Negro. It was said that the barber in slavery time would be wealthy because he was able to amass a lot of money just cutting heads. And it also states that they had certain codes on their permits, and it would say CW or CB, and that meant that they cut Caucasian as well as black. Or it didn't say that. That meant that they just cut black hair, and that was it. And the ones who did both were able to make a considerably more amount of money than the ones that just stuck with doing the black slaves or black hair, okay? And I'm using the terminology Negro, black, African-American, just to show how we've transcended and how far we've come to this point. Now, you being a barber, how does it feel carrying on this wonderful age-old tradition?
It wasn't passed on to me. It was something that was just, I stumbled upon it. It was a hobby. I kind of learned a little bit about what a barber was. It's actually an extension of a doctrine. History of barbering comes from where the red and blue pole swirls around.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think it was a staff, and that was used to, if somebody was injured, something like that. In the Western time, they went to a barber to get the bullet out, stab wounds.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that until I read it in the book when I was in school.
Okay.
And that's also an extension from a doctor.
Mm-hmm. So what made you get into this particular line of this? It's a craft, I have to say, because it's not a line of work. It is actually a craft, because you can't just sit down and cut some. Look, I can't sit down and cut somebody's hair because it would be a mess.
I mean, it's wow. I got into it from just because I kept going to the barbershop at Jerry's Den on 147 Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get a haircut. And I had to wait a long time. And I think I was like 13, 12 at the time. And so I went back home, disappointed. And, got some clippers from my older brother. And started cutting my best friend's hair. It was like I said, it was a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into my best friend and his brother cutting my brother's hair, all my brother's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then cutting the whole neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of developed from one person to around about like 150 people in my mother's house.
Well, you must have had a natural talent for this because not everybody can take some, like I said, not everybody can take some clippers to someone's head and create something that they would be willing to walk the streets with.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's a natural to me and my...
Mm-hmm.
It's not a natural talent for that particular thing.
An expert with it, okay.
I mean, I think it's more like, you choose something that interests you,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of develop an excellent, a wanting desire
mm-hmm.
to be excellent in it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you build up that reputation of being that person.
Okay. So like many of the guests that I've had on the show, they all say the same thing. Do you like what you do?
No, I mean...
You have to love it.
I really do love it. I do love it. I mean, it's different phases, though. Different phases in my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention was that it's a rite of passage for the young man. And... I mean, it's just such a tradition, a traditional history for our culture. And, it said that the first haircut is considered to be a rite of passage. If a boy has a braid on the top of his head, the barber would cut that braid off, then give it to the mother so she can save the braid in her Bible, thus conserving her son's strength. Have you ever cut any kid's head off and gave them back the braid?
I've done that.
Okay.
I've done it. I don't know what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I guess it's traditional.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a traditional thing?
It's traditional with some parents.
Mm-hmm.
Every parent has a different culture. But I've done it before.
Okay.
I don't know what that's weird to me. So I can't really... That's weird.
You know, Samson's hair was in his strength,
I understand what the Bible's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most children, they cry when they first get a cut.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Okay.
that they're all crying.
Okay.
Oh, hopefully that answers
the question. Yes, it did. Now, my other question is, the barber is usually centered in an area in the community where he can see all and hear all and know about all. Now, tell me, what have you noticed by being in this particular area in Harlem, USA? What changes have you noticed? And from there, I have other questions for you.
The changes I've noticed?
Mm-hmm.
It change depends on your state of your state of mind, like
mm-hmm.
if you've been growing. So if you've been growing, then you consider different things to change. Like I think it's a good thing that it's a mixture of culture here.
Uh-huh.
Because we need that. We don't need to be stuck in like a one culture kind of situation.
Okay.
I think the change that can happen is excellent.
Okay, so you like the multidimensional changes that are happening here in this particular community, in this area.
Yes.
Now, I have a question. Do you feel that the people of color are holding on to traditions or are they still so desperate to belong that they're willing to give up their essence, their footprints in history for a few pieces of gold and a smile?
Wow. Wow. To be honest, I think everybody gives up something for gold. And so, you know, the basis of having a civilized society is trade. You know, that's the foundation of it. You must have trade. Are you trading different people to come in so that you can be rich? You might be.
Okay.
But just to fully answer it, you know, I mean, if you want to stay poor, I mean, it's the difference between being poor and poor-minded.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to be poor, but your ultimate goal is to be well-off, to set aside, set goals in your life so that you can achieve stability, right? So that's change.
Okay. So change and progress.
It's great.
But
now you don't want to stay in a position to where you're going to be poor for the rest of your natural life. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, the desire, the actual desire of God is for every man to advance himself. Okay, I understand that's where you're going. I understand that as well. However, do we lose something in the advancement of ourselves? Do we sometimes give away more than we should? Do we not hold on to the essence of who we really are? Or do we just kind of let it filter through and say, okay, you know, whatever, this is part of change, so it just has to go?
Okay, I understand. The essence of me is excellent. And the essence of me is a calm, peaceful person.
Okay.
And poverty, you can't be that.
Okay.
You can't be excellent and you can't be at peace because you're poor. You know, you're out here sacrificing a lot of your values or your morals that you learn in church or you learn in a barbershop, you know, in a discussion, believed in it wholeheartedly. And now, because you're poor, you might have to compromise that value because of the fact that, you know, you didn't leverage your own situation.
Okay.
You're not leveraging your life. Somebody else is leveraging you for you because of the fact you are poor.
Okay, so you're saying that...
Or I should say, poor minded.
Okay, you're saying that a person who has a poor mentality or a mentality based in poverty will not be able to advance himself. And therefore, all the teachings in the world, whether you learned it in church, in the barbershop, or wherever, will not change his condition because of his mindset.
Yes, his belief, his attitude about what he's supposed to do in life, his character, like the principles that you set forth in your life to be a man or woman, you know what I'm saying? Those beliefs, if you have the wrong beliefs, you're gonna walk in church with the wrong. You're gonna walk in your job with the wrong beliefs. You're gonna walk with the wrong attitude. You know, your esteem is not gonna be you don't love yourself because you hurt others.
Okay. Now, how often have you had a young man come in here?
Wow.
And you've had to try to explain to him that the direction that he's taking is not the correct course of action?
It depends on if he's willing to share. Just like I'm sharing with you now. Like, if he's willing to open up and, you know, if he hears the discussion that he takes interest and, you know, and I examine it and I give information. It happens all the time. And most of them, you know, because they're not a... Because you're a male, don't make you a man.
Okay.
You know, a man is a belief. Male is a gender.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through certain stages of your life as an infant, a toddler, you know, adolescent, and you become an adult. And an adult doesn't make you a man. it just makes you an adult because of your age.
Okay.
Right. So now, when you start breaking these things down, people start to understand. Oh, okay. I thought I was a man. So when you come in into a barbershop environment, you know, and then you hear the breakdown, you kind of find out who you really are.
Okay, you talked about being a man and being a boy. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes, I can see just from this view, we can look out the door and you can see for yourself that there are a lot of young women out here walking around in situations due to the fact that they thought they were involved with someone who they thought was a man and wasn't. Now, what is your perception on this whole dilemma we got going with these kids out here?
They're spoiled brats.
Okay.
They're spoiled brats. Most kids out here, you know more about PlayStation and Pokemon and the latest dance. They even know how to communicate. They know how to shuck and jive, coon and buffoon, shake, bait, dip, split, everything, other than to do it the right way. One good example that I tell people now, every time I have a good example, something that I think is powerful, I come in the shop, I share it all the time. One good example that I realized, Shawshank Redemption,
mm-hmm.
When the white man, white gentleman went to jail, they thought he was innocent, guilty.
Yes, yes.
All right, so now he escaped from jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the powerful word that he said to him, I think it was Morgan Freeman,
mm-hmm.
was, is either we're going to get dying or we're going to get living. And he started digging through that hole, dug his way out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the most revealing part was when he went into that pipe, that
uh-huh.
big pipe with
mm-hmm.
full of
with all of the manure and
yeah.
all that stuff in there. Yeah.
And he went through that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like stated five football stadiums. Imagine going through five football stadiums of that
manure
crap.
And feces and
right.
Shit.
But at the
yeah.
end of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At the end of that road, it's free.
Yes. Yes. So
now the way I look at it,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, in my life, what is the crap about my life?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say all the poor mindedness
mm-hmm.
would be that crap in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
That going to jail. Saying the word nigga all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pulling your pants down. That would be all of the crap in the tunnel. And then you would have to go through a small tunnel to get the freedom.
So you're trying to say that a lot of people are not willing to endure going through the crap. They just pick it up and let it stick.
Yeah, I'm going to let that crap stay on me. Yeah, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it with honor, too.
Okay.
And don't you forget it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't you forget it. Ridiculous.
Yeah, but what would you, I mean, if you had a solution, if you had a possible solution, what would it be?
What would my solution be?
Yeah.
Very simple. It needs a Negro charm school.
They had that with Monique.
Yeah, but you need that on the regular.
Okay.
You need that in the community.
Okay.
You need to see, one thing that a lot of kids don't understand, like a musician, that's what they learn. That's how they learn how to conduct themselves.
Okay.
Even an old school banker, when he had the conkali in his head,
mm-hmm.
be accepted. He had to learn how to, you know, to know how to communicate.
Okay.
And we're not learning.
Okay. Alexandria, do I have any calls? None yet? Two callers? Anybody? Hands up? No hands up yet? Okay, good. If anybody wants to call in and ask any questions, the number is 347-637-2319. That's 347-637-2319. Thank you. Now, let's continue this because it's good. Okay, now you're saying that we need some kind of charm school on the regular for the youth of today.
And the adults that didn't get that.
Oh, okay. Now, retraining adults is a big thing. That's difficult.
Like I said, everybody got to go through that tunnel.
Okay.
Everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to go through the tunnel.
So it's more like if we go back into, if we go back into slavery, let's just say, for instance, Harriet Tubman.
Yes.
Okay. She was the one who kind of took everybody through that tunnel. That tunnel that was filled with all kinds of things. I believe we have a call on the line. Hello.
Hi. Hi. I'm actually a client at Flawless, and I'm a lady, so the whole barbershop thing for men, I just want to say it's kind of a myth, because I really have to tell you, this is a wonderful little shop to go to, and I still get the same philosophical education that some of the guys get. He does cut ladies' hair really well, I must say. But I'm finding it really fascinating to hear, that there's somebody out here not just willing to cut your hair and take your money, but, you know, kind of talk to you and get to know you as a client, and you get to know him as a shop owner and a member of the community. So I just want to say thank you, Flawless.
He said you are welcome, and I have to say I'm glad I'm having this opportunity, because I can go on and on and on, because, you know, it's just really interesting to say, okay, you're a patron in the shop, sir, right? Correct?
Yes.
And, you know, it is said that the barbershop historically has been a place for black men to go to belong, to feel as if they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that would be the case for you when you come into a barber?
Here, yes. Relationship now. It's not just, I don't come here like once a month or once or 2 months, so I come here almost every week.
Yeah.
So I have a relationship with him, so we get to talk a lot of those philosophical issues, you know, what's going on today, films, everything. So I have a bond with him in that sense. So yes, I do feel like I belong, yes.
Okay. And you see, because, like I said, historically, all you're doing is carrying on a tradition. You're carrying on a tradition that I think and believe, this is just my belief, should not be lost. It's a tradition that we necessarily need, because although we are advancing, we still need to have that place to belong. And you're offering that with the services that you provide, because not only are you providing a service to make somebody look good, but you're also making someone feel good mentally and emotionally. And that's something we really don't have enough of, especially for black men. My whole thing is, I've noticed that there are a lot of black men out here who are mentally not together. I'm not saying all of them are, but there are a lot of them out here. I mean, the homelessness situation, you usually see a lot of black males in that situation as opposed to any other. What is your perception on that?
Yeah, that's deep. Some people need to go through that. Some people need to live with squirrels and raccoons, and some people need to live in the woods. You know, I mean, we I don't know. I don't want to live in the woods.
Okay.
I don't want to live in the woods.
Okay.
You know? So I have to make preparations to, to do something about that
mm-hmm.
as an individual. Because you can be, you, again, you know what I'm saying, a lot of kids out here are very spoiled. And they don't seem, it doesn't seem that way because they didn't get anything. But, you know, I mean, you didn't live in worse conditions. Like, if you look at India, if you look at any other poor third world country, they're living, they eat dirt. They
mm-hmm.
eat dirt. They eat leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't eat potato chips, bubble gum, juicy fruits, popcorn. They don't get that
fattening crap.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of things that we feel are unfair, we have a lot on us that I believe.
Okay,
I believe.
We're overprivileged, so to speak.
In
certain respects,
yeah,
as far as
yeah.
the ability to have whatever kind of food you want that you can throw it in the street, because in no other country and no other place in the world would you take a banana and throw it in the street because it's brown.
Yes. And on top of that, if you get anybody from another country, whether it be African or Indian or whatever, they strive to be excellent. They strive to be the best. What they do, they consume.
Okay.
You know, they're consumers
mm-hmm.
of excellence.
Okay.
So when they come over here, they already have an attitude, a character that needs to be developed in the young black man. You know, he can have his talent, whatever it is, but if the character's not there, he's not going to make it. You know, he's not stable in certain parts of his life, so, you know, where he can't save money or he can't, you know, act right because his soul is disturbed from the things that happen to him in the shower,
mm-hmm.
right? Or anything like that. You know, he doesn't know how to eat right. He don't work out or something. You know, it's like we're doomed.
Well, Flawless, we're going to have to stop right here, and we're going to have a part two on this.
All right.
Okay? Because our time is up. Because I got more for you, okay? You're willing to share, I'm willing to ask. And I just wanted to thank you so much for, you know, giving us your time in this first session. And we'll be coming back because we want to see your work. We want to take
okay.
pictures. We want to talk with you some more
okay.
and everything. And we're also going to bring another gentleman with us at that time. And he is going to, his name is Garrett Fortner. He has a book out there called The Best Shave, The Quintessential Guide to Shaving for Men of Color. And I think the two of you together, you know, you might be able to kind of make somebody look gorgeous.
Okay,
I mean, if a man wants to look gorgeous, okay? Okay? So I just want to thank you again. And Flores NYC is located at 405
yes.
West 145th Street. And that's between what and what?
Between St. Nicholas and Convent Avenue.
Between St. Nicholas or St. Nick and Convent Avenue. And please join me next week when I'll be having Timmy Allen on the show, and he will discuss the music industry. He is a producer, father, writer, man of many hats, and he will be introducing his latest project. Okay? That's our show for today. Thank you very much. Thank you, Flawless.
Thank you.
Thank you, the caller. Thank you for those who listen. Thanks, Percy, for calling in. And we want to thank your patron who so happily shared this information and everything. So you can hit the outro. And that's it.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.
Wow, how did it do?
You did good.
Hang on.